On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the line. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have called for law enforcement to put an end to violence and destruction after protesters attacked a state senator and toppled two statues near the Capitol last week. How do you want the governor to respond? What do you want out of state lawmakers amid the demonstrations against police brutality and racial injustice? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Robin Voss is a Republican state representative from Rochester and the Assembly Speaker. He represents part of Racine County and surrounding areas. Representative Voss, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. We're nearly a week removed from the protests. State Senator Tim Carpenter was beaten as he stopped to take video. What is your reaction to what happened?
You know, it was really disappointing, and it should have never occurred. There's no doubt in my mind, and I think among every Wisconsinite, that individuals have the right to peacefully protest. It's in our Constitution. And of course, it's something that everybody supports as a way to get your ideas out. The challenge that I have is when the Madison mayor, and unfortunately, it seems like Governor Evers, allowed peaceful protests to become violent on State Street several weeks ago. And then, of course, again, just this last week when they tore down statues, threw bricks and rocks, and then ultimately beat Senator Carpenter. So, you know, peacefully protesting, that's America. Violently protesting, that needs to be stopped, and people need to take responsibility for actually preventing it from happening.
What specifically do you want Governor Evers to do?
Well, I think that first of all, we need to arrest and prosecute the people who commit crimes. The fact that they're only against property really shouldn't matter. If you commit a crime, you should pay the price. And the whole idea of doing peaceful protesting is to be able to affect change. And I think that is usually what occurs when a peaceful movement works inside the ability to do that. But if they decide to go outside that ability to be able to commit crimes, they need to be prosecuted.
So
even the folks who broke in on State Street, no one's been held accountable for that. The gentleman who caused the riots last week was released almost immediately by the Madison mayor, and we still haven't seen a single prosecution occur yet.
Will more arrests lead to peace and reconciliation?
Well, if they commit property crimes, they have to be arrested. That is the law. We don't just look the other way because the person might have a righteous cause. If you commit a crime, even when during the civil rights protests, we saw that people did it in a nonviolent way, they still were able to make change, but they did it in a way that actually helped garner people's support for their efforts. And I think what's happening with these violent protests is actually pushing people away.
The Assembly wrapped up its regular session work in February. And as you look back at your work this session, what efforts have addressed Wisconsin's racial disparities?
Yeah, Wisconsin actually in many ways was ahead of the curve. Back in 2014, Wisconsin passed one of the first in the nation ways to deal with making sure that if there was a charge of abuse by a police officer, that it was done by an outside independent agency. So you wouldn't necessarily have, you know, an old boys club trying to protect an officer. Just this last session, we also passed legislation to make sure that we had standardized regulations for the way we deal with body cams so that we ensure that we have the ability to store the data and do it in a way that makes sure if something does happen, we have a record to do it. So Wisconsin's really been ahead of the curve in many ways, and we should keep trying to make sure we make progress.
We're talking about state politics with the top-ranking Republican in the Assembly. Speaker Robin Voss with us. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Representative, I mean, we're the state with the worst racial achievement gap in the nation. Our infant mortality rate for African Americans is the highest in the nation. Your colleagues in the Assembly had put forward proposals last December around Christmas, called it the Disrupting Disparities Package. And the package had six bills aimed at reducing instances and impact of racial disparities. Is it time to work on these bills?
You know, I'm always open to the idea of working to try to make progress on any topic, right, affecting anybody in Wisconsin. The thing that I have focused on the most is it's really got to be education. We need to make sure that we have schools that educate children, because we all know if you have a good education, it's the most important step on the ladder of life. So the thing that frustrates me the most is that we have school districts around the state where we have this incredibly wide disparity among kids. And we see that that's where a lot of the efforts need to go. In Milwaukee, as an example, they spend some of the highest per pupil in the entire state and unfortunately have some of the worst outcomes. And that's why so many parents in Milwaukee choose to utilize school choice, where they can pick a better school for their kids. And that's, I think, where it needs to begin. We need to make sure that we have the tools for parents to be able to get a great education for their kids, because that's how we break the cycle of poverty. It seems far too often that people want to just spend more money on the same broken programs. And I am one who wants to sit down and reform the programs to make sure that the money we spent is done a lot more wisely than what we've done in the past, where really the results haven't been anywhere near satisfaction.
Let's look at Governor Evers' package of bills that would, he said, increase police accountability and transparency. He hasn't called the legislature into a special session on these 9 bills. Should the legislature return this summer to take action on policing issues?
Well, the sad thing about the way Governor Evers chooses to operate is he didn't just, reach out to anybody. He didn't sit down and talk about it with folks who have concerns. He didn't sit down and talk about it with the legislative leadership. He certainly hasn't reached out to anybody involved in policing. So I think that's part of the challenge, that Governor Evers continues to have this go-it-alone approach, where he throws ideas out there that aren't necessarily vetted or, you know, allow for more input. So what I've said is we're going to do like we did on the last two police reform bills. They were widely bipartisan. They were worked on. It took a little while, because in order to get it right, you don't rush something through. But it requires an awful lot more communication than it seems like Governor Evers started this effort with. So my hope is over the course of the summer, we continue to work and listen. I've spoken to, of course, the members of the Black Caucus. I talked to their chair to hear what her ideas were and gave her my word that we would work together on areas that we could find common ground. But that's how conversation and change happens. It's by actually listening to the other side, those you might agree with, those you might disagree with, and not just throwing out a bunch of ideas in a political statement more than a policy statement.
Well, specifically, what legislation would you support to address police practices around the use of force?
Well, the good thing in Wisconsin is that we already have many of the police departments utilizing the tools that Governor Evers has talked about. The city of Madison, just as one example, puts out a use of force report where they are put down how many interactions they have had and the percentage of interactions. I think it was 2018 where they had to use force was less than 0.7%. So the vast majority of interactions between the public and the police are done exactly how we want them to, nonviolently, without the use of force, and hopefully in a way that helps to change the society for better. So things like that, where more information can come out and we make sure that the public knows that use of force is a very rare occurrence and not something that is something that's done on a regular basis anywhere near that.
Let's bring in Jim now, joining us from River Falls. Hi, Jim.
Hi. Thank you for letting me on the show today. I'm calling because of Senator Voss or Assemblyman Voss's comment that you have to protect property. Well, I think a lot of the laws in this country have been designed to protect property and the wealthy, and they're trying to make some similarities between that and use of force and death and by the police and killing people and protecting them, and I don't think the two quite should equate the same. Lost human life and loss of property.
Yeah, so, Jim, thank you. I think Jim's saying property can be insured and rebuilt. Black lives can't. Why is there an urgency to stop property damage but not to stop police violence?
Well, there's an urgency to do all of the above, and that's why if someone commits a crime, I actually was on with a group of African-American pastors about a week ago, and one of the comments that struck me the most was when one of the pastors said, we need to prosecute people for their crimes regardless of what their skin color is and regardless of what their job title is. So if you're a police officer and you commit a crime, you should go to prison. You should be prosecuted. And that's why in 2014, Wisconsin was one of the first in the country to pass legislation that requires an independent investigation. And in the vast majority of cases, when somebody does something wrong, they've been prosecuted and gone to jail. The difference is we also need to say that if you own a home and that's your entire life investment and somebody comes and throws a firebomb in it, I don't think we just turn the other way because the person happened to be protesting for something that might be an idea that you agree with. The idea is if you commit a crime, you should be going to jail and be prosecuted, whether that's about firebombing somebody's duplex or if it's, you know, taking somebody and using force in a way that's not legal.
The governor supports banning the use of chokeholds and no-knock search warrants. Do you support that position?
I support the idea of banning chokeholds. I've already talked to the folks who've gone through the academy. That's another one of those where if he had spoken to the people who actually run the department, they actually don't teach that in the police academy. They haven't for quite some time. So certainly that's an easy one to do. I do not support getting rid of no-knock search warrants. I certainly think that we need to ensure that they are used in a way that guarantees the safety of those who are going in. But if you're using a no-knock warrant, usually that's because it has to have special permission from a judge. But let's assume you're going into a drug house where they are armed, protecting $1 million worth of illegal narcotics. You certainly don't want to give them notice right before you go in to arm themselves. So I think there's got to be limited use of it. And I think in Wisconsin that already occurs.
Let's bring in Cole now in Sun Prairie. Hi, Cole.
Hi. So interesting last comment. And I think it's really telling about what Speaker Voss is actually focused on. Mr. Voss, you've been the speaker. You've been in the state legislature for, over 10 years now? And just now that people are rioting, now that people are out in the streets and making noise, you're talking about possibly making some change. But you keep coming back to, the crime and this aspect. And that really shows what the issue is in this country. I mean, people of color have been forced to live their lives under systemic racism, and equating this to, we need to take care of, worry about the drugs. And that just continues to go on painting a picture that this is their life, when really this has been something forced on them.
Cole, I'm going to pause there. We're talking with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, and you can join in with your insights, your questions, 800-642-1234. Back for more State Cap in just a moment here on the Ideas Network. It's the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the line. We're moving through issues with him. What questions do you have for the top-ranking Republican in the Assembly? Have you filed for unemployment since the start of the pandemic? What's your experience been like? Still time to talk, 800-642-1234. Representative Voss, I want to give you some time here to respond to Cole and Sun Prairie about the shifting sentiment on the Black Lives Matter movement and why Black Lives now matter now to politicians.
Well, this is what's amazing to me is that every single Wisconsinite's life has always mattered. What the challenge is to take out the racial aspect and make sure that we are doing things that benefit everybody in our state. So we have great schools, a good healthcare system, and that we treat everybody fairly regardless of their skin color. That's my goal, and that's what I think we've always done in the Assembly. The sad thing is when Cole heard me reference someone who would use a no-knock search warrant where a police officer might go in and get harmed, why don't you just imagine, Cole, that the police officers entering into the home are African-American? And the people who are making the drugs are white. There was no implication that the reverse was true. And it shouldn't matter what the skin color is of either of the participants. We need to protect the police. And we need to make sure that if somebody commits a crime, regardless of their skin color, that they are prosecuted in a way that is fair, but also make sure that we hold people accountable if they commit a crime and that they pay the penalty that society has imposed.
Let's bring in Rick now in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Rick.
Hello. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm in the car. I apologize.
We can. Yep.
But I wanted to call in on a couple things. First of all, I'm going to have to, because it seems if we don't, we are considered unconstitutional or that we don't believe Black Lives Matter. I believe in the Constitution. I believe that it should be followed. I also believe in Black Lives Matter. I believe in all lives matter. I don't think it's a true racial issue. I think it's a hatred issue. We have to stop hatred in America. We have to stop hatred in all colors, in all the genders, et cetera. But last week there was something that shocked me of our governor. Our governor, as all elected officials, puts his hand up and he swears an oath to uphold all laws. And he, when he was challenged and they asked for his resignation, his defense was the individual that was calling for his resignation did not believe in the First Amendment. Well, the First Amendment does not state that you can do violence. It doesn't state that you can do destruction of property if it's public property or private property. It doesn't state that you can be an arsonist.
Rick, I'm going to have Representative Voss here. Final thoughts before we go on to other topics.
It's just an example where, you know, listening to the last two callers, each of them have valid points. We want to make sure that the Wisconsin legislature focuses on things that we can actually achieve and make forward, moving progress. So that's why, as I said before, we have already passed good legislation in the past. I know that we will work together and do it in a collaborative way. We're not just going to throw a bunch of bills out there without having spoken to anybody. We're going to do it in a collaborative way. And when we come back after the election, I am very confident that Wisconsin will continue to make progress.
Let's look at unemployment. The state received more than 27,000 new unemployment claims through Thursday. How are you feeling about Wisconsin's response to these claims?
This is one of those things where, as a legislator and just as a Wisconsin resident, I am angry at the way that the Department of Workforce Development has been handling this. Back in April, Governor Evers gave us a set of ideas that he wanted us to enact, which would help to deal with the crisis where we saw literally hundreds of thousands of people unable to get their benefits. We passed all of those ideas, the basic one, waiving the one-week waiting period and allowing the governor to transfer as many people as he needed from throughout state government to help people get their benefits. And here we are almost 3 months later, and we have people who still have not gotten a penny. There's 500,000 people who still do not have their benefits. And I know that people are angry and frustrated. They call legislators. Our offices are trying to help. But just a couple simple things that should have been done a long time ago. Our hours at the DWD are 7:30 until 3:30. They extended them until 5 o'clock. Where in the world would you say that you only extend them by an hour and a half as opposed to saying, let's work two shifts a day? Let's make sure that we go 7 days a week. And that did not happen. That's a failure of Governor Evers.
The Department of Workforce Development says it's hired 1,000 more people to handle unemployment claims since March, 450 new staff and call centers. Where do you need staffing levels in order to be able to turn around these claims?
Well, part of it is the staffing levels, and that's why, using outside contractors, that was a good idea, but it took a long time to get it up and going, much longer than it should have. But the idea that we're only going to have traditional business hours, 7:30 until 5, when we have hundreds of thousands of claims waiting, is something that would never occur under a Republican administration, because we would say, look, let's work double shifts. Let's pay people overtime. Let's figure out how do we deal with this pandemic in a way that gets people the dollars that they need as quickly as possible. And when Governor Evers and his DWD blame it on an outdated computer system, there are a dozen states that run the same computer system that we do, and they are doing a better job than we are. The other thing that really frustrates me when we look at the computer system is people saying, well, you know, the legislature should have done something about it. Well, frankly, Governor Evers in his last budget and Governor Walker under the budgets he submitted never said they wanted to put the money in to update the computer system because it was working just fine. So, you know, I think that there's a lot of things that we could do differently going forward, and we're certainly going to take a look at that. But it's not about the future. It's about getting the 500,000 people, 500,000 people who do not have their benefits and getting them out the door as quickly as we can. And that entirely falls with the executive branch where they implement the laws. The legislature can't do anything about it other than pass the proposals that Governor Evers gave us in April, which is why we need to get them going.
I don't know if I've seen 500,000, but let's look at the additional joblessness payments of $600 a week that run out on July 25th. Is the legislature putting forth new proposals to replace the federal benefit?
We are not. The federal government has the ability to borrow and print money. The state of Wisconsin, of course, does not. We already know that we're going to have a sizable deficit because of the slowdown in the economy and the stay-at-home order, the reduced sales tax revenues, reduced income tax earnings. We won't even know the full extent of the damage to the state's budget until we get to July 15th, where everybody has to have a deadline to pay their income taxes. So we should know sometime in July the actual state of our budget, but we certainly don't have the ability to replace the money that the federal government's borrowed.
Last week, a committee blocked a rule proposed by the Evers administration to bar landlords from charging late fees until August. Would that be helpful to Wisconsinites in this who are not able to receive their benefits yet?
Well, let's just remember that landlords have payments of their own. So if you have a mortgage at the bank, you have utility bills that you have to pay, certainly the ability to have 3 months where you do not have late fees was helpful to tenants. But at some point, that has to come to an end, and people need to pay their bills. They've gotten unemployment benefits to be able to help pay their bills. They've gotten a stimulus check, and they've also had the ability to defer their late fees. So I think it's appropriate that we now say, as the economy is open and more people begin to return to work in a more traditional way, that we also say you have to pay your rent.
You represent part of Racine County, which has the state's second highest rate of coronavirus infections per capita. How well are local authorities and hospitals handling the situation?
They're doing really well. I would encourage anybody who wants to follow on a more regional basis to go to the Wisconsin Hospital Association's website, WHA.org. You can see by region how each part of Wisconsin is doing. And I think by and large, even as I saw a story, I think it was in yesterday's paper, comparing us to Minnesota, where we have about the same population, but Minnesota has still had a stay-at-home order where they have a pretty severe lockdown still in place. And they have had over almost twice as many deaths as the state of Wisconsin. So I think we've done a really good job, because the number that's the most important to watch is hospitalizations. And Wisconsin's numbers have been fairly steady in that area, even as more folks have been identified. So identification is, of course, important, which is why we have testing around the state. We certainly know that that is a key to helping contain the spread. But we also need to make sure that we watch our hospitalizations. And in that area, Wisconsin's doing quite well.
Well, Representative Voss, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Kate. Have a good day and happy 4th of July.
You too. Robin Voss, Republican Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly. He represents part of Racine County and has been elected since 2004. Just ahead, we learn about the River Alliance of Wisconsin's new agenda for protecting the state's water. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.